Welcome back. You're watching Stock Watch with me, Bright Khumalo, tackling your stock-related questions this evening. Nilesh Hasanji from Old Mutual Investments and Mark Dutoy from Oyster Catcher Investments. Don't forget to send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag StockWatch. Good evening, gentlemen. I'll start with you, Mark. I mean, blood on the streets, eh? What's driving markets these days? I mean, I think we can agree and say we've all been, you know, waiting with bated breath of what's going to happen tomorrow with the Fed.
Yes, so the Fed rate hike decision tomorrow, and I mean, I think the consensus is for a 75 basis point increase, but I guess the interesting thing will actually be the market reaction once the announcement is made. I think that there's a lot of money that's sitting on the sidelines and wants to get more involved in the market again. And if the Fed comes out with the same statement that it has been making all along, it's data dependent and 75 basis points is the announcement, you know, it might be taken quite favorably by the market.
Yeah, I mean, locally, our stock market, Nilesh, is, you know, closed up, I think, about a fifth of a percent there. We're heading in a different direction as compared to global markets. So what was the driver behind our own performance today? I mean, if you look at the Rand, for example, it's sitting at 1770. So not good news for, you know, some of those SA Inc. stocks.
Yeah, I share the same thoughts. I think, you know, perhaps the market's taking a bit of an ad break. We've been watching the movie of the Fed play out, and we're heading into the final half of the movie, you know, over the week. You know, as the market becomes more defensive, we've seen the stronger dollar and we've seen a bit of Rand weakness coming through. In addition, we've had, you know, Eskom announcing stage 6 load shedding over the weekend.
Yeah.
So, you know, that sentiment, you know, just coming through on the SA in stocks. But other than that, it's kind of balanced. I mean, today we saw a bit more favorability for the financials relative to gold. And, you know, possibly there is, you know, the higher rates will still be supportive for financial stocks for the endowment effects. But that's coming off again, you know, a bit of a weak week for the financials.
Yeah, interesting. I'm seeing here, you know, companies like Discovery and Absa were some of our top winners, something we haven't seen in a very long time, at least this year. Let's jump straight into our questions. We have here ShareSquare2 on Twitter, who says, is Steinhoff going up or down, Mark? I mean, this has to be, you know, the question of the decade, because it's only been going in one direction for the past 10 years.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's still a lot of question around, you know, how much debt forgiveness is going to be. There's still court cases that are still ongoing. I mean, I think there was a point where the U.S. Manufacturers of mattresses were doing very well. It was about a year ago. And at that point, their investment in mattress firm was looking like they could relist it. But, you know, given what's happened now with the markets, I mean, that option is now on the table. And then, of course, the other big investment that they still own is the Pepco business in Europe.
Yeah.
And, Europe is facing a very difficult situation with high energy prices and likely recession. So for us, I mean, Steinhoff, it's not a buy at this point. So I would vote it's going down.
Look, if everything around you is getting expensive, I'd assume it makes sense, you know, that a discount, retailer is where people are going to be spending their additional pounds in this case. So why is everyone worried, Nilesh?
The environment is getting tougher. I mean, Europe inflation is higher than what we're seeing in South Africa, which is, I mean, who would have thought Europe would be an emerging market running at these inflation levels? Sourcing, everyone's worried about supply chains, cost of living is going up. The market's just getting incrementally tougher. Following high inflation, we're seeing higher rates, and consumers are likely to take, you know, the discretionary spend will slowing.
Yeah, and I have I have to agree with both of you gentlemen that, you know, higher interest rates when you have a massive debt in your balance sheet and a lot of you know, litigations overhanging, you know, the whole stock price. So it's not going to be helpful in such an environment where, yes, there might have been opportunities to take advantage of, but unfortunately you can't do that. That sort of anchors you down. You can't really move as flexibly as you want.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Tabo is asking us a question here. It says, good evening. Can I please have the panel's thoughts on Caro at these levels and the outlook going forward? I'll start with you, Mark. I mean, great numbers from Advitech, and we saw also, you know, the tertiary division, what used to be Caro, also doing well, which is Stadio, obviously. And what's happening with Caro? Is that business, you know, living up to expectations?
Yeah, I think that Caro also do well. I mean, the story at Caro is really now that they are going to grow into their capacity. So their schools are largely built. They're going to add a few classrooms as capacity fills, but they've got a large number of students in grade 8 that will roll into grade 9, 10, 11, and 12. And so that gives them kind of a natural rise in their revenue. I mean, their revenue will probably grow over, you know, in the double digits for the next 3 to 4 years. And that really gives it a nice earnings underpin. Also, I think in South Africa, I mean, well, all over the world, but particularly in South Africa, people are really willing to sacrifice a lot to pay for a good education for their children. So I think that their earnings will be defensive in that respect as well. And I think that the big worry about them having too much debt, I mean, there was the rights issue which happened, I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And the cash flows are clearly now able to pay down the debt. You should see the dividends starting to rise as well. So, yeah, we quite like Caro, yeah.
Wow, I never thought I'll hear those words, dividend and Caro, in one sentence. Dividend Papi approves. Nilesh, I mean, that's an interesting, you know, sort of change in strategy to accept more students in grade 8. Do you think they're trying to counter what happened at Advitech, where we're seeing, a lot of people, especially in those, earlier grades in high schools, you know, leaving the country is very easy, to yank your kids out of school. And obviously that had a massive impact on the balance sheet of something like an Advitech.
No, I think it's a sensible strategy. I mean, grade 8 is the entry point into high school.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, they have capacity that they can and pull up with students. And if they have demand, it's sensible to get the guys in grade 8 and let them move through the grades to complete high school under a common syllabus. And, you know, you build your friends and friendship circles with the guys that you start with and hopefully continue with them.
Yeah.
And you just hope you get that, as Mark commented, is you get them going through the grades and full the capacity, you know, and secure your revenue and your future through that.
Okay, yeah, because I mean, I would assume and think that it's much harder to attract, you know, grade 9s and grade 10s and grade 11s. Well, do people even take people in grade 11? I don't think that's even a thing. We've got two questions here from James. Okay, so two questions about Thungela. One is from James, which is, will Thungela keep performing, Mark? Will Thungela keep performing? This one says, the second one is on the SMS line, which says, your view on Thungela as they go ex-dividend on Wednesday, is it worth a buy here? I mean, the stock is already up 400% this year. This is from Andrew. Mark?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, I guess obviously the main driver behind Thungela's earnings is the coal price. So given the huge upheaval we've seen in Europe, Europe, surprisingly, is built their whole energy grid on the back of cheap gas supplies out of Russia. The Nord Stream 1 gas pipeline is now being turned off. It has created a huge scramble for energy in Europe, and they do have coal-fired plants still, and it is able to accept the South African coal. In fact, some of the plants were built to accept South African coal. And so we've seen the API full price, the South African coal price, above $300 a ton, which, you know, for many years, the kind of target price was $75 a ton. So it really is a strange period for coal miners. And St. Gilles is doing extremely well at the moment. And what's been pleasing, I suppose, is that they've stuck to their policy of paying out excess cash, which is difficult for a mining stock to do because you obviously, when times are tough, it's difficult to raise money. When times are good, your tendency is to try to hold on to that cash. And Tungela has been quite steadfast in its dividend, in stating that it's going to pay out cash in high dividends. Today was the dividend day for Tungela, so tomorrow it's going to trade ex-div. The difficult question, I suppose, is will it really go higher from here? I think that if coal prices don't go even higher, I don't think that Tungela will give you a dividend plus type of return. You'll get your dividends out of it, which are high. It's like a 20% dividend yield. Wow. Plus. But, you know, for maybe for a three-year period. Further than that, it's very difficult to say because there could be some kind of resolution on the Ukraine-Russia war. So really, if you're buying Tungela, I would say you're buying it on a three-year dividend return basis.
Before we move on, I want to hear your thoughts, Nilash, on Tungela, whether it's still got legs here or it's just a dividend play, like we heard, you know, from our colleague here, Mark.
Yeah, I agree to some extent. I think if it's largely related to the coal price, and if coal prices stay where they are, just given the dynamics in the market, you know, Europe is still looking for coal, China has issued hydropower and also looking for coal, and South Africa and Exxaro provide the high quality coal. You know, we're seeing significant amounts of demand, limited supply in the market, as people scramble for alternative energy suppliers. Even after the dividend, if coal prices stay where they are, Exxaro will generate, Tungela will still generate a significant amount of cash. You know, but the dynamics in the market will dictate the coal prices. So one way I would still be cautious around buying in at these levels, but also one way you just continue to monitor the coal price.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, Nilash and Mark, I'd like to think that, you know, Russian pipeline that supplies, you know, European gas, it's still going to be used, you know, weaponized, even if the, you know, Russia-Ukraine war ends. So there'll still be that, you know, I don't know, cold war through that pipeline, which is not going to be good, you know, as a, you can't depend in a country like that if, you know, you want to be productive and consistent in your own country. So maybe there's still a thesis here for such energy. Maybe not for long, like you said, 5-year horizon, but there's still definitely a case there. We're back to our questions. We have a question by Andries, who says, hi, can the panel please give a view on Baldwin Properties? A recent trading statement was quite positive. Mark?
Yeah, I mean, Baldwin has typically traded at a low valuation level. I think it kind of does fall in to that category of the smaller cap stocks that do tend to trade at depressed multiples. Just unless there's a big growth story behind it, it's difficult to really get a premium rating as a smaller capitalized stock. Also, I guess that for things to get really exciting in the residential property space, I mean, we do need better GDP growth in South Africa. And given what's happening around the world with interest rates, and added to that our difficult Eskom and power shortage situation, I mean, I think it's going to be difficult to get a real bull case going behind Baldwin Properties. So again, I think it's kind of a stock that you'll do well out of your dividend flow, but not necessarily out of a ratings upgrade on the stock.
Yeah, I mean, the share price is down about 73.5% since listing in 2015. The business has probably doubled since then. I mean, it's growing revenues quite nicely. I mean, I said to you earlier, Mark, that, you know, that revenue number and that earnings number that you keep seeing from these guys is always, you know, surprising to the upside. They run a tight ship, but the share price just doesn't agree all the time. I don't know. What are these guys doing wrong? Maybe Neil Ash has got insights for us.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the trading statement, the numbers were great, but it was all about the outlook. Management were commenting that rising rates and the economic pressure will temper sales. You know, coupled with that, you know, they are commenting on construction price inflation. So, you know, you're seeing it, you know, globally, you know, as with rising commodity prices, we're seeing the cost of inputs, you know, increasing. So when you look at the whole picture, it's almost that you know, they're guiding towards, you know, tempering sales and slowing margins, you know, from high inflation.
Okay.
An environment where the company is telling you, guys, you need to be a bit more cautious. You know, you'd expect it to reflect on the share price. But there's no mistaking that, you know, their business is quite differentiated. It's just, you know, at what point in the cycle we are. And clearly this is one where, you know, we are getting a bit more. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, Buitumelo here on Twitter says, good afternoon, can you kindly ask your panel about JP Morgan? Do you follow JP Morgan at all, Mark?
No, I can't give specific insights into JP Morgan. I mean, investment banking is typically a very good industry for the management teams, not so great for shareholders. I haven't looked at JP Morgan in detail, so I can't give a...
Yeah, except for the fact that JP Morgan has outperformed basically any South African listed, you know, share in the financial services space, even if you convert it into dollars or rands, you actually choose which one you want, and they pay a better dividend, and they've outperformed the likes of Goldman Sachs, which are pure, you know, investment banks. So any thoughts, Nilesh, on JP Morgan?
I think generally the banks, you know, in the U.S. have fared, you know, much better coming out of COVID because, you know, they have had, you know, rising rates, strong growth coming out of the U.S., you know, with government supporting the economy and the growth. And J.P. Morgan was the bank that's more consumer-focused or has a balance between IB and the consumer bank relative to the likes of the Goldman Sachs, you know, which we spoke about. And in that sense, you know, have outperformed the South African banks, you know, as you mentioned. But in this environment where, you know, you're concerned about growth, you're concerned about a recession, you're concerned about inflation, does mean, you know, the banks will be a little weaker, you know, at this point in the cycle.
Yeah, and I like you mentioned, you know, those factors, and didn't mention the fact that, you know, high interest rate is necessary good for these banks because that's not showing up in their balance sheets as well. So it's very hard to buy that narrative when reality tells you otherwise, right? I mean, theoretically we all know that's what's supposed to happen, but reality is you know, scolding us and teaching us a good lesson here. Mark, we've got a question on the SMS line which says, is Coronation a buy at these levels, and can the dividend be maintained? I think this is a very good question from Mike here, because we always look at, you know, these things in a vacuum, but here this is a good dividend payer historically. They got double digits, you know, the last time I checked was around 13% dividend yield, but can they keep, you know, paying that in the current market where we know they're sort of a proxy for the whole stock market actually?
Yeah, so I guess that is the main point behind Coronation, is that it is kind of a proxy for the market. They do well when the equity markets are rising, they do very well, particularly if they have great investment performance, they earn good performance fees, and then the dividend can be quite high. So their policy is to pay out 100% of earnings and dividends, so I think the policy will be maintained, but the absolute level of dividend will probably be lower given the pullback in the markets. I must say though, it is looking particularly cheap, so it depends on your investment time horizon. So, you know, if you're looking in the next 6 months, maybe it's not the best time to enter, but if you're going to hold it for longer, you know, it's not expensive at all.
Yeah, I mean, assets under management as a ratio of staff they have, you look at, you know, other metrics, including, you know, I don't know, your PE ratio at single digits, you know, earnings multiples, all of those things, they look very cheap. And I sort of scratch my head. I'm like, what does the market know that I don't? Maybe you have an answer, Nilesh.
No, I agree with Mark. You know, the dividend is largely a function of the level of earnings, and the level of earnings for an asset manager is largely dependent on one, market, and two, the AUM. And in a tough market, the price reflects that the earnings, are going to be lower.
Yeah.
So yes, they can maintain a payout, but it depends on the level of earnings that gets reported.
So we all agree that the payout ratio might be maintained, but to what the absolute numbers are going to look like, we might not find ourselves at double digits dividends, at least in the next year or so. Interesting. This one says, which stock should I park my money for dividends besides British American Tobacco? Any local stocks that come to mind, Mark?
Well, I mean, I think that the South African banks are going to be able to pay very decent dividends for the next 2 to 3 years. They're still sitting with a lot of excess provision stock, which they built up during COVID. And, we're not facing a situation where South Africa facing a deep recession. So although our earnings, our GDP growth numbers are not, are pretty pedestrian at kind of 1% a year. I mean, it would be really helpful if we could get that to 2, but I think that the banks, they're not going to face particularly high credit loss ratios, and they've got excess provision stock on the balance sheets, and I think that they will maintain the high dividends and perhaps even pay out a higher dividend ratio than previously in order to kind of keep their return equity ratio in their target ranges.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a surprise statement come out from First Rand with that special dividend as well. So that's a case in point. Where would you park your money or clients' monies here, Nilesh, in this environment for dividends specifically?
I would also say the banks for the same reasons Mark said, but I would also add, even the insurance companies, they also have pretty chunky capital. They have provisions which they built up, over COVID, which they're still maintaining. And in time, we could see that capital being returned. So, yeah, banks, financials, and even buy bonds. I mean, South African bonds yields are high, and you can get a good yield coming out of the bonds as well.
Yeah, and we heard from one of the top performing asset managers in the credit space saying that they're seeing a lot of outflows in credit. I mean, so people are selling, left, right and center at yields of 10 to 11%. It tells you maybe this is the time to have a look what's going on there. let's jump into our stock picks for the evening. Nilesh?
Yeah, so my stock pick is Sun International.
Okay.
As we're heading into summer, people are going to get out for the holidays, and the best place to enjoy the time in the sun is at Sun City. But we expect locals to continue traveling and enjoying the holidays at Sun City. We're seeing more flights coming into South Africa from Europe, which is expecting to be a harsh winter, so that would still be attractive for them to come in and enjoy the time out of South Africa. And since then, the consumer's been relatively resilient in terms of, coming out of COVID and just getting back to normal life and enjoying their time in the sun. So Sun International it is.
Okay, fantastic. I like that. Sun City, Sun International. Mark, your pick for the evening?
So I'm picking Mondi tonight, the paper and packaging business. So we all know Europe's experiencing a difficult energy crunch.
Yep.
And what's interesting about Mondi is that they provide 80% of their own energy requirements using their biomass burners. Coupled with that, I mean, they're a really great management team, good capital allocators. There's going to be difficulty experienced by their competitors in Europe. I mean, it gives them a lot of optionality to look at buying out smaller mills, or I think there'll be a lot of opportunity for them to continue what they're doing and consolidating and their business and the market, and continuing to fully integrate their business. Plus, you get potentially a large special dividend. I mean, we saw they announced that they found a buyer for their Russian business. Now, that price that they've quoted is 1.5 billion euros, plus you get the cash within the business, and they've said that they will distribute that as a special dividend. So if that deal goes ahead, that's a 20% dividend payment, which I don't think is being reflected at all in the share price at the moment. So you've got that underpin as well.
So I like that. So you, it's Mondi with Mark and Nilesh with Sun International. So buy the optionality of Mondi and obviously buy into Sun City. That's where we're going this summer. Thank you very much, gents. Thanks to my guests, Nilesh Hasanji from Old Mutual Investments and Mark Dutoy from Oystercatcher Investments. Julieta is back with Stockwatch tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a good evening.